Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Flowers. This is the third Monday of the month. You're listening to Kingdom Builders International Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Apostle Carl Flowers. This is Restore Path to Dwell In broadcast that you're tuning in to. We're on every first and third Mondays of the month. This is the third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. Every first and third Monday of the month at 8 p.m. Thank God for my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers. Amen. We ministered side by side together in team ministry. Thank God for her, my lovely and beautiful wife, my helpmeet, M-E-E-T. Thank God for her. And I thank God for the listening audience, those that are listening under the sound of my voice, those that are listening by way of internet, cell phone, landline, however you're streaming this broadcast in. We thank God for you and those that have been faithfully tuning in and listening to this broadcast. We just thank you for your encouragement and your support. We just pray that you've truly been blessed by listening to Restore Past the Dwelling broadcast. And I just want to acknowledge and thank God for Prophetess Teresa, the founder of Kingdom Builders International. Also, I would like to say her assistant, her help, those to be working with her. Those behind the scene, Evangelist Dana, Hannah, thank God for her as well. I ask that you guys continue to keep Kingdom Builders International in prayer as well, and the work that they're doing. They're doing great works for the Lord. And we just thank God. And for you, those that are even listening on the other side of the globe, this broadcast, I always like to say for the people of God to be in high expectation, be expecting from the Lord on tonight, because there is a word from God for you on tonight, a prophetic word from the Lord concerning your circumstances, concerning your situation, concerning why you may be going through what you're going through. God has the answers for you. Again, God always wants you to be in high expectation, looking to receive from him. Be expecting, because God is a supernatural God, as you always hear me say. God is always constantly moving, and even when we think that he's not moving, even when it looks like in our natural eye, we look like it's the opposite. Everything seems like it's falling apart. Everything seems to be going wrong. God is yet moving behind the scenes. God is yet moving concerning your prayer request and that which you have up before him. God just wants you to continue to stand in the faith, continue to believe him. The enemy's job is to, in Daniel 9, but in Daniel he talks about Satan comes to wear out the saints. So that's his assignment, to wear out the saints. His assignment is to send demonic forces against you, to wear you out, to wear you down, to cause you to walk in a realm of doubt and unbelief. And I like one man of God that's part of the Apostleship Global Network, Apostle Jackson. I was like, how he used to, he would always say when he prayed, he said, I just bind the spirit of doubt and unbelief. Now, a lot of times we have to bind the spirit of doubt and unbelief that would hinder us from the blessings of God, or that would hinder the move of God from operating. And a lot of people have unbelief is a sin. The Word of God said it is sin to have for you not to have faith. It's a sin. Yes, our faith is going to be challenged. Yes, you know, we have those moments discouraged, to disappoint, but then that's where the prophetic ministry comes in. That's where the prophetic word of God comes in. I just thank God for the prophetic ministry. I know sometimes you have those that have got a little goofy in the prophetic ministry, or got kind of off in error in the prophetic ministry because of gain and want to prostitute the people of God, whose motives are wrong and so on and everything. But don't discredit, don't throw away the prophetic ministry. Amos 3 and 7 said, God does nothing except he reveals his secrets unto his servant, the prophet. Amen. God is moving in the earth. God is still raising up and using his prophets. They are true prophets that God has called and ordained and has raised up, seasoned prophets, prophets that are still speaking the word of the Lord, prophets whose motives are not wrong, prophets whose heart are for God's people, prophets that will speak, thus says the Lord, and what God is saying concerning the times that we are in. So I want to encourage pastors and leaders. Some of you that may have had bad experiences concerning the prophetic ministry, may have had a prophet come to your church and said some wacky stuff, or came with no wisdom, tearing the church up and everything, so it kind of caused you to want to shy away from the prophetic ministry. No, don't let that stop, because God does nothing except a prophet. When a prophet stands up and speak, you have to release the word of the Lord. So I want to encourage you, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Allow the prophetic ministry to move in your house, in your ministry, the word of God, to try the spirit by the spirit. But before I get into the word of God tonight, I just want to go into a word of prayer, because I want to get right into the word on tonight, because there's much to cover. So I pray that I have enough time to give you what God has given me on tonight. But Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you, God. I humble myself before you, Lord. I thank you for the people of God. And Lord, I can do nothing without you. I ask that you will anoint my lips of clay, God, in the name of Jesus. These lips of clay, Lord, speak your oracles through my mouth, Lord, through my lips, God, in the name of Jesus. Let rhema come forth, Lord, a fresh word come forth, Lord. Spirit of revival be released, God. Those that are listening, God, under the sound of my voice, Lord, I decree and declare miracles, signs, and wonders take place, God, in the lives of your people, God, on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you're still performing signs and wonders. You're still moving. You're still delivering, healing, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, God, in the name of Jesus, for a supernatural move on tonight, Lord, or the daytime, wherever my voice is heard on the part of the world, maybe daytime on the other side of the globe. But, Lord, wherever my voice is heard, God, in the name of move in the midst of your people, God, I declare and decree right now, Lord, that you begin to release your warring angels to warn on behalf of your people, your ministering angels to minister unto the people of God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you begin to stir your people up concerning their purpose, their destiny, concerning ministry, God, concerning their lives. Bring forth clarity, God, on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I bind every demonic force, every hindering spirit that have been trying to hinder the people of God. I command right now, in the name of Jesus, every shackle to be broken right now. Release the anointing of God that breaks and destroys the yoke, in the name of Jesus. I command every shackle, every chain of bondage to be broken right now. Every spirit of oppression must go right now, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for deliverance moving in the lives of your people, God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the winds of change blowing in the lives of your people, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you right now, God, for our testimonies and praise reports, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you may be glorified in the lives of your people, God, that your people will be encouraged, strengthened, healed, set free, and delivered, God, in the name of Jesus, giving you glory, giving you the honor, giving you the praise, God, for what you have done, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, that we will lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily beset us, God. And Father, we repent right now for the omissions and the commissions of our sins, God. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that the church, the body, Lord, we will walk in the unity of the faith, God, in the kingdom, Lord, in the name as it is in heaven, so let it be here in the earth, God, in the name of Jesus, that unity, one mind, one spirit, one accord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're tearing down the walls of partition, Lord, in the name of Jesus, among denominations, God, among the Jew, among the Gentiles, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord, God. I pray right now, God, that the spirit of racism be eradicated in the body of Christ, in the name of Jesus, because there's still racism going on in the name of, there's still a colored thing in the body of Christ, Lord, that is dividing and separating us, God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, in the name of you for dealing with the hearts of men, and that the men will begin to repent, because those that are holding hate in their heart concerning another nationality, concerning another race, and professing Jesus Christ and professing to be a Christian is not going to be able to enter in and to make it into the kingdom with hate in their heart. They have a rude awakening coming. But Lord, I pray right now that you begin to open their eyes, Lord, to see that, and that they will repent, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you, God, and let us be prepared for that which is to come upon the earth in the days that are coming ahead, God, Lord, in these end times. And Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God, amen and amen. I'm going to get right into the Word of God. I know on the first Monday of the month, you heard me ministering on concerning purpose and destiny, that God's a purpose and a plan for your life. I want to kind of like piggyback off of that, so I'm going into what God's going to have me to minister. God's still continuing to have me to minister in that vein on tonight. So we're going to continue to pick back up from where I left off concerning purpose and concerning destiny, and that was out of Judges, the 13th chapter, starting at the third verse. It's the third through the fifth verse, and it reads as follows. This is the King James Version. It said, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." And now, as you heard me read here in the Word of God, talking about an angel of the Lord had appeared unto this woman. And this woman, I'm just going to just jump right into it. This woman was Samson's mother. And she had an encounter with the Lord. The Lord is still sending angels. The angels of the Lord are still visiting his people this day. People are still having supernatural encounters. Amen. God is still delivering his messages through his angels unto us, confirming and affirming concerning our purpose, concerning our cause, concerning ministry destiny, concerning that which God have sent us here in this earth realm to do. Man, I thank God for the Word of God and just showing us all throughout the Word of God, those having visitations from the Lord, those God confirming that he has called them, that he has chosen them, and God is still yet doing that to this this day. And it says here, but this woman, she was barren. Samson's mother, she was barren. She was up in age. She could not conceive, but the angel of the Lord came and prophesied unto her the word of the Lord. Verse 4 said, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. So this is instructions from God, instructions from the Lord, giving her instructions of what not to do, how to sanctify her body, how to keep herself set apart from these things. I tell you the word sanctification. Some that don't have the understanding concerning the word sanctification. You have some denominations think sanctification is a denomination. Sanctification is not a denomination. Sanctification is a way of life. God has called us all to sanctification. Those of you that are the bodies of believers that confess Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, that is living for the Lord, you ought to be sanctified. You're supposed to be sanctified, set apart, set aside to be meet for the master's use. So the angel of the Lord was giving her instructions about, no drink no wine, nor strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. He said, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. So now the angel is prophesying that, again, giving instruction that no razor shall come on his head, and this child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And she chosen from the womb. This will show you right here that, God don't just call you when you're born. This is not just something just happened out of happenstance, or you just get inspired all of a sudden. You want to do a work for the Lord. All of a sudden, you went through your life and, you go to a church. You heard the message. You got convicted. You got saved. And then, you're walking with the Lord and you're starting to mature in the things of God. And all of a sudden, you're inspired to preach. You want to preach. You want to minister the word of God. You want to minister the word of the Lord. You want to do something for God. But this is something that God has already ordained and predestined before the foundation of the world. You just came into the revelation knowledge of it, of the call of God upon your life. You just coming to the discovery receive the revelation concerning that God has chosen you and called you and had a work for you to do. And so here it is, this instructive, the purpose of Samson being chosen and called of the Lord, it was to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So that's his purpose. So God wants to know the purpose, the reason why that he has called us, our assignment, why we are here. The Lord wants us to know that. That's why we experience the trials of his life and go through tests and trials, and we go through hardships and different things in our life. It's not to harm us or to hurt us or anything like that. Sometimes we feel that way because we don't have an understanding when it comes to the Word of God or our relationship with the Lord. So we take it the wrong way. We look at it the wrong way, going through a situation or going through a thing in life, or sometimes we can do things and go through three things that happen in our life because of rebellion, because we've been rebellious, because we're not listening to what the Lord is saying unto us, or we're not receiving the instructions of, of our leader, the pastor, whoever your shepherd is, or something like that can cause hardship in your life, where you receive the word from the man of God or the woman of God, the prophet of God, the evangelist, one of the fivefold ministry, giving you the instructions of the Lord and what the Lord is saying. And then a lot of times we can do the opposite. Let's speed up a little bit. Samson. Now we know Samson did everything opposite of what God told him not to do. Don't touch no dead thing. Don't drink any wine. Don't do this. Don't do that. He did all the opposite of what God told him what not to do. Isn't that like us? We do the opposite of what God tells us not to do. Sometimes we can let this flesh get in the way, and we can get rebellious at times and go in our own mind, go in our own thinking, go in our own reasoning, and go and say, hey, I'm going to do what I want to do. This is what I want out of life. We're not thinking about what God has called and chosen us to do. And so we want to travel and go our own path. So because of that, we want to travel and go our own path and don't want to do what God would have us to do. Then that's why at times we experience hardship in our life. Things don't seem to be working out right, or things look like it's working out right, going well, look like you're flourishing, look like you're prospering, but yet you don't have no peace. You don't have no joy. You're unhappy. You're miserable. Why? Because there's a big void in your life. There's an emptiness. You know, you got your education. You got your degree. You're flourishing in your business, or you're flourishing whatever your profession is, your field, but yet you feel unsatisfied, uncontent. Again, this void in, you know, in your life, and you feel like, man, well, I achieved the things that I wanted to achieve in life, but yet why did this feel this empty and feel this void, or feel like I have not really, you know, like there's something missing. Yes, there's something missing. That is Jesus Christ. That is the plan of God is missing from your life, and that's what the Lord is trying to get you to see. He didn't cause you to be here just so that you can fulfill the American dream, the White House, the two-car garage, and, you know, the 3.5 kids, and, you know, the dog, and the white picket fence, and so on, you know, the American dream, and all this stuff. But God has a purpose and plan for your life, because the enemy has just a limited time to do what he have to do, because his time is short in this earth realm, and that's why you see, as the Word of God says, except the days be shortened, can no flesh be saved. So we see that we are in the last days. We're in the day that Jesus had prophesied about in Matthew 24. We are in the beginning of sorrows, as I would like to say, the birth pain stages of troubles. We have not yet seen that which is about to hit the earth. So that's why God wants us to be able to discover, and be able to see, and be able to fulfill our purpose, our calling, the mandate upon our life. You cannot do that outside of God. You cannot do that outside of the church. And sometimes we want to be long range, and we want to be separated from the church. We don't want to be connected to the church. We don't want to be connected to the house. We feel like, well, there's so much thing, corruption and things on in the church, and witchcraft and all these various things and so on. Let me tell you this, my brother. Let me tell you this, my sister, that God is going to judge those pastors, those leaders whose motives are wrong, those that are in it for just doing it for money, those that are just, as the Bible speaks of, Jesus said, hirelings for hire, and those that don't care nothing for the sheep or the people of God. And so God's going to deal with them. That's not your concern. We all going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God by ourselves. Mother can't go with us. Brother can't go with us. Sister can't go with us. Our children, nieces, nephew, nobody, pastor, nobody can hold our hands and stand before the judgment seat of God. We all got that appointment with the Lord, that one-on-one appointment standing before the great white throne of God. And so we can't have any kind of excuse, well, Lord, I didn't serve you because of the pastor. He was a jackleg preacher. He was a hypocrite. He was such a once a hypocrite in the church. God is not going to be hearing that. We're not going to have no excuse. The Word of God says, search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so so the Lord will look at you and say, well, what did you do? Did you fulfill that which I have sent you in the earth realm to do? Did you fulfill the purpose, the mandate that I've given you to do? Did you fulfill that? Did you love? Did you forgive? Did you give? Did you clothe those that need clothes? Did you feed the homeless? Did you visit those that were behind the prison walls? And I can remember the disciples asking Jesus that question, Lord, when were you in prison? Was you hungry or homeless? Or, and Jesus told him, if you did not do the least of these things, then you did it not unto me. But if you do these things, you do it unto me. And so we got to think about the things. A lot of times we can get selfish in our walk with the Lord. We can be consumers in the church. You have a lot of consumers in the church. And what are you saying, man of God? What I'm saying is you have those that go into the church, give me, give me, give me. Take, take, take. Give me, give me, give me. Bless me, myself, and I, my four, no more. I want all the blessing, everything that I can get, and not thinking on the things of others, not thinking of how can I connect with the vision of the house. How can I connect, allow God to use the talent and the gift that he has given me to enhance the vision of my leader, to enhance the vision of the pastor. How can I be a part? You know, your destiny is connected with the vision of the house, amen, with the pastor. No man can be an island unto himself. You're going to wither, you're going to die, especially if you're not connected. That's why Jesus was talking about being in St. John 15 chapter about being connected with the vine, the same thing, being connected with the vision. So if you're not connected with the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and you're that branch, and that branch is not connected to the vine, what happens? It withers up and it dies. So you just break the branch off. Branch fall off that tree, that vine, the tree. And what happens? You look at it outside, it loses oxygen, and it begins to wither up. It turns brown and begins to die. And that's what happens. When you're not connected with the local assembly, with the church, with the kingdom, you begin to die. You begin to spiritually die. To be carnally minded is death. The Word of God says it. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so the Word of God said the people perish without a vision. The people perish. So if you don't have a vision, if you're not connected with the vision, guess what? You begin to perish. You be out there wandering. You be like tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You have a vagabond spirit on you running from church to church because why? You don't want to be connected. And when correction come to you or you're being reproved, and it's, you know, because God loves you, because he's chasing the one that he loves, you want to get up and run and go to another church. You uproot and go somewhere else instead of being rooted in one place where your foundation can grow strong and be led, and your family, and where you can flourish, and where you can grow, and where you can begin to move forth in your purpose and move forth in your destiny. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, you can't do that because why? Oh, my pastor, you know, I'm older than my pastor. I know more, you know, than my pastor. They, you know, they're young. And so now you're looking at the outer appearance. You're judging the outer appearance because you're your pastor, and you don't want to submit to a pastor that is younger than you. You know, I'm probably stepping on some toes. I'm sorry, I mean to be stepping on. And the church body's got to tell it like it is. You know, that's sad to say, but that's how we can be in the body of Christ. We begin to judge on the outer appearance, and you know, oh, because you know, pastor, you know, I don't want to submit, you know, under him. I don't, you know, but you will come to the church and you would not connect, but you would come and you would suck that pastor dry. You would suck when you're in trouble. You come, oh, pray for me. Oh, I need to hear from God. God, give that pastor and lead a word, prophesy to your life, and God, bless you and break you through. And the pastor fasted for you and labored for you, but yet you still won't connect with the house. You know God is calling you to that house. God wants you to be, but yet you're in rebellion. You're running. You don't want to connect with that house. But yet when you get into trouble, and yet when God, you run into a situation, and then all of a sudden you're running back, you're coming, you're needing help and so on and everything, but it should not be. You plant it in the house of God and submit under authority and to that leadership. God will bless you, you will flourish, and you will grow. There's no perfect church. I don't know why do we think that there's a perfect church. If there was a perfect church, there would have been no need for Jesus Christ to come and to die for us and to pay the price for us. I know a lot of times we can get critical and judgmental or whatever. If you look hard enough, you'll find something wrong with the church. You know, you look hard enough, it's easy to find something wrong, to point the finger, to fault find or anything like that. So God wants to bring us out of that. God wants to bring the body of Christ. God wants to be in a place where we can cover one another and cover one another in prayer and in intercession and encourage one another, not tear and devour one another down in the body of Christ. And so we can't do that to move forward in our purpose and our destiny if we're doing that. If we're looking at each other upside the head and trying to find fault and trying to find sin or find something wrong in our brother or in our sister, being, again, judgmental or critical and feel like, well, I don't think they anointed enough to be in that position. I don't think they have enough knowledge enough to be in that position. We don't know God set those in place. God do whatsoever, whomsoever that he choose to do. We can't say this person don't need to be in this position or this or that and all that. Only God knows. If they're not supposed to be there, God will remove them. It's not for us to get into that. The Word of God talks about, you know, who are we to judge another man's servant? And see, and that's when we get into trouble. We go putting our mouths on things, putting our mouths on people, and putting our mouths on who we think is called and chosen of the Lord. God had to show the prophet Samuel that when he had to go and anoint another king, because of the disobedience of Saul. See what disobedience can get you? Let me rewind back a little bit here about Saul. We all know Saul. People of God begin to cry out for a king. Oh, we want a king. They don't want to have that relationship with God, you know, because God wanted to visit his people. God wanted to show his people, you know, just come down in the midst of his people, but they were too afraid of that. They were just too much for them, all the thundering and just the God wanted that fear to be upon them, that reverence for him to be upon them, but it was just too much. They didn't want it. It was just too much. God, give us a king like the other nations have. We want a king. And I'm pretty sure that had hurt at God's heart because God wanted to have that relationship with his people, but they didn't want it. They wanted a man. Speak to a man on our behalf. You know, you use him to speak to us. And we want a king. And so what happened? They got a king, Saul. You know the story. Saul disobeyed the Lord. God gave him a command to do. He didn't do it. He got told him to kill the king, Amalek, I believe, and everything, the cattle, the women, the children, the calves, the dogs, the rats, the roaches, everything. Don't leave nothing. But he didn't obey. He still had to save some. And he saved the best. He spared the king's life. He saved the best of the cattle or whatever. So his excuse was so that we can offer it up to God as a sacrifice, but he disobeyed the Lord. And because of the disobedience that caused him to lose the anointing of God upon his life, that caused him to be rejected of the Lord, I tell you, beloved, you don't want to walk in disobedience unto the Lord. That's why you want to obey the call of God and do what God will have you to do, because you don't want to be rejected of the Lord, because God will take the anointing and place it on another. The anointing that he had placed on your life, God would take the assignment that was meant for you and give it to another. If you don't want to do it, God will give it to somebody else that will do it. You hear me? God will give it to somebody else that want to do it. And that's what ended up happening. And so here's the prophet. Anytime the prophet show up on the scene, you know, they got nervous, they got fearful, you know, because a lot of times the prophet didn't have nothing good to say. He came with thus said the Lord. And so when the people was curious, when he came into town, he said, I just come to offer up a sacrifice unto the Lord. And so he went to Jesse's house. He called for Jesse's sons. Jesse had his sons come out, and the prophet's in here. Now, this is the prophet of God. This is the prophet that no word would fall to the ground that he had spoken out of his mouth. Anything that he said, God would bring it to pass, the prophet Samuel. And here he is. He was looking on the outer, judging at the outer. Oh, man, look at his stature. And, you know, look the way he looked. Surely he's the one that God wants to anoint king. The Lord's like, no. Well, I know he is. You know, he got the education. I know, you know, this is the one. God said, no, he's not the one. He went on all the way down the line. And he said, wait, I know God said that. What am I missing? I know God said that there's somebody here that in this household that's supposed to be anointed, an anointed king. Well, you know, what am I? Do you have another son somewhere? Jesse was like, yes, sir, yes, we do, David. So the prophet stood. He said, I'm going to stand until you fetch him and bring him back. And he stood up, stood the whole time. And when he saw David, he said, this is the one. God said, this is the one. And he anointed David. When you seem to be like the most unlikely candidate, when people would say that you're not the one, you're the very one that God is calling, that God is anointing, that God has chosen. Amen, to do a work for him. If you're familiar with 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter talks about God takes the foolish things to confound the wise, things that seem base, things that seem despised and rejected. And so those are the very ones God chose to do a great work for him. You already know Moses. I was talking about Moses, stuttering problem, making up all kind of excuses not to do what God would have him to do, but God had already ordained it to be before the foundations of the world. If you don't believe it, then why was Pharaoh, why was the king trying to kill all the two-year-old male child, that spirit, that genocide spirit? Why did the enemy try to kill you in your mother's womb, or try to kill you when you were a little baby? I'm talking to somebody on tonight that's listening to me. Why were there many attempts on your life if there was not such a great call, if you were not chosen of the Lord? The enemy know that. I just want to encourage you mothers to pray for your child. Your child having nightmares because they're chosen of the Lord. Don't just push them away and say, something that you watched on TV last night, or the older generation would say, you must have ate beans. It was something that you ate last night, sugar. It was those pinto beans that you ate. That's why, you had the interesting dream. No, it's because your child is chosen by God. There's a prophetic call and a deliverance ministry upon your child's life, and the enemy knows that. And so that's why he brings nightmares and the real demonic spirits that your child see to discourage them from the things of God, because they're going to begin to have encounters with God. So what the enemy tried to do, try to put a spirit of fear upon them and have them fearful and so on. So I want to encourage you parents to pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren, because they have a great call and purpose on their life. Begin to break that off, begin to speak. And then God is not giving them a spirit of fear. Begin to instruct them with the word of the Lord to have them to begin to speak when the enemy comes and try to bring those things to them. Amen. If all they can think of at the time is just to say Jesus, have them say Jesus. Amen. So we know the story again of Samson. It did everything, but finally at the end, Samson began to when he grew his hair back, as we know, and he asked the young man to put him between the posts, help him to feel his way. We all know the story, and the anointing of God was on his life, restored back on his life. And the word of God said that he killed more in his lifetime, more Philistines, in the days of his death, the last day of his death, than he did of the years of his life. That's something. And I tell you, that's a prophetic word for those of you that are listening to the sound of my voice. You may think that God has counted you out. You may think that you have missed it, that you're up in age in ministry, or those of you that are listening thinking that, man, I've missed out on time concerning ministry. I just feel like I just missed out and wasted time, and my job held me down, and I've been working on this job for years and been tired of working all kind of hours. I've not been able to do anything for the Lord. I feel like, many years went by, and I just feel like I missed out. God is a redeemer of the time. And I tell you, God's going to cause his people, those of you, to accomplish more than you ever did in the early part of ministry, accomplish and move in great miracles, signs, and wonders in the latter part of your life, in the latter part of, concerning your ministry than any time in the early part of your ministry or your years in ministry. God's going to cause you to accomplish more in these latter times, in these last days. Get yourself prepared. Get yourself in position for what the Lord is about to do, because, again, in Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse talks about, blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He has already given us spiritual blessings, give us everything that we needed in heavenly places. In Ephesians, the second chapter, the sixth verse, said, and he have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's already. And that first chapter, verse 4 says this, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He loves you all the way before the foundation. He already chose us. He already did this. Just answer your question right now. That the call and all of a sudden come. God has already preordained it. God has already predestinated. The call of God upon your life is up to you to answer that call. It's up to you to walk it out, the call of God on your life. And so it tells you that here, that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, not our will, but his will. And that's why Jesus began to pray, said, not my will, but thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was teaching disciples how to pray that, and teaching them that was just a model and an example for us as well. It's not our will, but it's his will. That's why I love Ephesians, the first chapter, the 17th verse and the 18th verse. I love it to always pray this in my prayer. I would say, Lord Jesus, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened that I may know the hope of your calling, not the hope of my calling, but the hope of your calling, because it's God the one that gives callings unto men. When Jesus in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 11, 12 verse, talking, he ascended, for he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So it's God the one that gives the gifts out, and the calling is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's the purpose of the call of God upon your life. That's the purpose of your pastor's calling. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry call, whether you're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever your calling is, there's a purpose. It may not be a ministry gift calling where you have a pulpit ministry, but you have the call of God on your life where you have a purpose that you have to fulfill for the Lord, whether it's in business, whether it's in media, whether it's in education, whether it's in the health care, whether it's in, as we call it, the seven mountains of influence, whether it's in broadcast, whatever profession, again, that you may walk in, that God has called and ordained for you to walk in. God wants to use that for his glory and for the kingdom of God. You know that? Let me give you the definition of pre. It's earlier than, prior to, before, in advance, beforehand. And let me break it down, destined. I'm breaking it down, predestined. Definition of destined is to decree beforehand, to designate, assign, or dedicate in advance, to direct, devise, or set apart for a specific purpose or plan. That's a specific purpose and plan for your life. That's why you're here. You're not here just to be existing. You're not here just to be living. You're not here just to do what you want to do, but God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And God yet wants you to discover that and not walk around just wondering, oh, well, I'm here. Let me just go to church and sit down and hear the word and go back home, not do nothing, not ever witnessing, not ever encouraging anyone, not ever even praying for anyone. No, that's not what God has called you to do, to just think about yourself or just wait. Oh, I can't wait till the Lord take me on out of here. I can't wait to leave this crazy, messed up world. But who life have you changed? Who life have you impacted? Who life have you been influenced to, affected in a positive way concerning the word of God? I remember this prophet, I know a lot, I enjoy him, follow his ministry and everything. And I remember him sharing how the Lord had showed him a vision of a graveyard. And he's like, wondering why am I seeing this vision of this graveyard? And I'm seeing all these headstones and all this stuff. And Lord, why am I here? Why are you showing me? What's the purpose of this vision? What's the purpose of me seeing all this? And God told him to look and to look. And he was looking at the year the person was born and died. And God said, why am I here? Why am I in the graveyard? And the Lord began to tell him, these are the that have not accomplished anything in him, did not leave a legacy, did not touch anyone's life. All they did was just existed. They were born, and then they died. And that really shook him up. And that's what was going on with a lot of people. I've seen people that was here and just went through life and just died, did not make a mark or did not encourage anyone, did not do nothing, and God just born and just died. And I'm like, God, I know that I'm here. I always felt that way from a little boy, a little child, that you had a purpose and a plan for my life. I always felt that. And I would say that. I was, brought up in the church and everything, and so but still I'd be like, God, I know that there's a purpose or something, a reason, why I'm here. But I know we get to that point in life where we got to kind of, get out there and feel ourselves and so on, get out here and have a taste of the world and experience life. And some of us are like, well, I experienced life and, I didn't get a chance to do all the things I want to do, party, have all my fun. Let me tell you, tomorrow's not promised to no man. There are those that are leaving here, every single day, every second. Isaiah says that hell is enlarging herself daily. People are dying and going to hell in the name of fun, in the name of a few seconds of pleasure. And God is calling, God is wooing those to come unto him. And so that you have those that say, hey, I want to do whatever I want to do. But I know because I was one of those persons that did that, that was under the deception of the enemy and believed in the lies of the enemy, that I have all the time in the world to do what I want to do. of all my fun. Wait till I'm old and then give my life to the Lord. No, I better wait till I'm on my deathbed. Then I'll give my life to Jesus. Be not deceived. Don't let the devil deceive you. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Like I said, people are laying down and not waking up to see the next day. People are, heard stories of people dropping dead. A good friend of mine, I put it like this, one of our pastors that's up under us, had family members that were, you know, that he know that would just drop dead, did a massive heart attack. That's like a generational curse in his bloodline. But God had called him and it called him out and chosen him to break that thing, that the bloodline curse off of his bloodline. He would share these stories with me. He would end up being the one doing the eulogy of his loved ones. Amen. Those that have, and some of them God would show him in a vision concerning them, these things happening, to them and everything. But you have some that will not take heed and not hear the word of the Lord and so on and everything. And but because of disobedience, because they're not hearing the word of the Lord, and the Spirit of God is only going to strive with men for so long, and eventually God's going to let the enemy have his way, the devil have his way, and the devil plan is to take you up out of here, to take you straight to hell, try to get as many souls as he can, because he don't want to burn alone. He don't want to be deep fried in the lake of fire by himself. So he want to take as many souls as he can. That's why he releasing all these false doctrines out here, these false religions out here, this New Age movement, this thing, doctrines of devils. As you heard me talk about, a lot of grace teachings and stuff. You don't hear nothing about no repentance in there, like you don't have to repent anymore and all that. Just doctrines of devils. And this is all what the Lord Jesus was talking about in these last days. This is what's going on in these last days. And I tell you, people, guys, you got to wake up and see this thing. You can see the platform, even within the government, is being set up for the Antichrist. The stage is already being set up. The chips and everything from some of the past broadcasts, the Lord had me ministering on that. The times that we're in, the martial laws that is about to come, that is about to be released here in America. I tell you, God has shown me this in visions, shutdown in America, when they call a curfew. Military, where you cannot walk the street, it is coming. And some of the places here in America, if you go on YouTube, it is already here in some states. Martial law is already here in some states. Go and look it up. And you'll see I'm not the only one that God has shown this to about martial law and these other things. God has shown me a vision concerning Chicago, the downtown area. This was a couple of years ago, three or four years ago, showed me the downtown area was bombed. I saw the whole downtown area, like it had been bombed. I saw the Sears Tower leaning, like it was the Tower of Pisa over in Italy, over there. And then there was another woman of God confirmed it. And then I saw it on you. Go and look it up on YouTube. But the Lord showed it not too long ago, this month in June, early in June, concerning Chicago. She don't even live here in Chicago. That she saw downtown, the Chicago downtown over there by Navy Pier and certain areas downtown was. Look like it was bombed, and so and other people have had visions of the downtown area being bombed and so on. So I tell you, people of God, God is still yet revealing things unto his secrets unto his servants, the prophet. God is still revealing these things unto his apostles and his prophets, his secrets and his mysteries to his people of God. You don't have to be an apostle, you don't have to be a prophet, but yet just have that relationship with the Lord, and God will yet reveal these things unto you as well that which is to come. And that's what God has done. He's showing these things unto us as a warning. Yet, yes, God wants us to pray concerning these things that we don't receive, that it can be thwarted or be exposed. But some things we know that's not going to be it's going to be unavoidable. That is just going to happen to get our attention, to cause us to come to repentance unto the Lord, because these are the last days, and God's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, that great harvest that the Lord is going to get in these end times and in these last days. That's why God wants us, the church, to be in position, and that's why we experience and go through things and persecution. You're going to be talked about. You're going to be lied on. This is all part of it. You got to pay the price. Jesus said, you suffer with me, then you shall reign with me. So we got to suffer. We're going to go through some things. But count it all joy. The Bible said, count it all joy. And know that you did your part. As Paul said, I've ran the race. I've finished my course. I've fought the good fight of faith. And you want the Lord to say, I'm well pleased with you. Come up, my servant, my son, my daughter. Come up and sit at my feet and be blessed. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Want the Lord to say that to you. You want to do all that you can while you yet have breath in your body, while you yet have the activities of your limb. If you physically challenged with something in your body, but yet still press beyond the challenge of your body physically and still do what God would call you to do and have chosen you to do. Still don't let that stop you from doing what God would have you do. Don't let that be an excuse for you not to do what God would have you to do. Oh, well, you know, I got this going on with me physically. I can't do it. No. Out with the excuses. Obey God. Do what God would have you do. I didn't go to seminary school. I didn't go to college school, Bible school. No, do what God would have you to do. Again, read 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. You need to go and read that. It's not about that. That's why the Lord, not many mighty are called, not many noble, and those that seem to be, you know, wise and great and all these things. God not called them. He called the things, again, that are despised and chased, one that people look down upon, those that have talked about, you know, you went through ridicule and talked about in grammar school. You know, I was sharing with my kids the other day and with some people the other day, family members, and about, you know, how, you know, growing up in grammar school and how they, you know, made fun of me and talked about me, ridiculed me, laughed at me, caused me to have a complex and insecurity and song in everything, and so, and did not know again that God was going to use me, call me to be, call me to the apostleship, call me to be an apostle of the Lord. And I could not see that when God had already did it before the foundation of the world. And many of you have heard my testimony. I've shared it on many occasions. Concerning my great-grandfather and my grandfather, which came to see me when I was a newborn, 3 days old. My great-grandfather did not have a spiritual bone in his body. He was some moonshine dealer or something. All I know, he didn't go to church or didn't have a spiritual bone in his body. He looked down at me just before he died and prophesied to me, 3 days old, newborn. I'm 3 days old, and prophesied to me, looked at me, and said, this boy is going to be a preacher, mark my words. Already, again, before the foundation of the world, and God confirmed it. With him, and then when it was time for the answer to call at the age of 18, my Damascus Road experience, an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I know some people may not believe it. Oh, God, Jesus not visiting nobody this day. That was back in that time. That stuff is not happening. Oh, you lying. And it's such. Jesus is still visiting. Jesus, as you heard me say, Jesus' angels is still visiting. God is still sending his angels to deliver messages, to confirm his word. Jesus is still visiting his people to let those know that he have called, and those that have brought terror to the church. And Jesus visited those that were terrorists and brought terror and persecuted the church. And they've given their life to the Lord, and God have used them, used them mightily. If that's the case, if not so, then why did he do that with Saul, who later became Paul, persecuted and killing the church, thinking that he was doing God a service, and God used him. God told him, God used him to write one-third of the New Testament. He wanted to do great works for the Lord, and God is yet still doing that in these end times and in these last days. Amen. And even though I didn't get a chance to really get into the Word of God on tonight, but I just think of the Holy Spirit having his way on tonight. I just have to speak as God would give it to me and have me to speak it and to say it. So the question is this. After God has confirmed the word of your life, after God said, oh, you should operate out of the gifts of the Spirit, all the divine gifts of the Spirit, you shall prophesy, you shall operate in word of knowledge, you shall have a miracle work in ministry, you shall have operate out of word of knowledge and so on, all your ministry shall be great, you shall minister to the multitudes and so on, and everything. After you have received this word, the question to you now is, then what? What are you going to do with the word that has been prophesied and spoken over your life? You're just going to sit back and not do anything? What preparations are you taking in order to move in concerning that word that has been prophesied over your life? What preparations are you doing and taking concerning that word that has been given to you concerning your business, concerning your marriage, concerning, you know, you may be experiencing a separation right now on the verge of divorce, but God said he's going to restore your marriage. But what preparations are you doing in order for your that relationship, that marriage relationship to be restored, or that family to be reconciled that the enemy came in and messed up and brought havoc in? What steps are you doing? See, a lot of times we think we're looking for things to fall into our lap and that's going to happen. No, there's conditions concerning the prophetic word that have been spoken to us, that have been given to us. So there are some things that we need to do. There are some things that we have to do, conditions, in order for God to bring his word to pass. There's some steps that we have to take. See, Abraham could not receive, as you say, the promise of his son, except he was not intimate with his wife. Boom, bam, it just wasn't going to happen. So there were some things that he had to do in order for his wife, amen, to be pregnant with his child, amen, the child of promise. And it is the same thing concerning, what God has promised us. There are some things that you need to do, even concerning a job. A job that's not going to fall into your lap. You have to go on and you have to fill out the application. You have to do it online now. There's a lot of places you can't even go in and fill out the application. They have you to do it online. So are you going online because you received a prophetic word concerning, a job or concerning, this? What steps are you doing in order for the word for God to move concerning that prophetic word? So just then what? That's the question unto you. Then what? After God said you're going to cast out devils and prophesy and do work, wonders and great works, in his name. In Mark 16 it talks about in 17, 18 verses, these signs shall follow them that believe. And Jesus said, my name shall cast out devils and speak with new tongues and take up serpents and drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, all these things. But are you laying hands on the sick? Then this is a word to receive. Are you laying hands on the sick? Are you casting out devils? Are you doing these things? Are you initiating? Are you initiator? Or are you being passive, not doing anything, not moving in what God would have you to do? So how are you expecting for God to do any of these things? How are you expecting for God to bring his prophetic word to pass if you're not doing anything, if you're not getting in position, if you're not fasting, if you're not praying, if you're not studying, if you're not reading the word of God, if you're not there, if you're not connected with the local assembly, with the church, with the vision, so that your purpose and the destiny that God has chosen ordained for you to do can be fulfilled. If you're not connected, if you're disconnected from the local assembly, if you're disconnected from the church, if you're just looking at every pastor and leader, being judgmental and being critical. So how can God fulfill what he wants to fulfill in you? Amen. Well, I'm sorry, my time is up. I done went over time. We got to pick this back up, people of God, even though I didn't get into the more of the scriptures, but amen, this is what God is doing. God is saying to the churches, to the body of Christ, to let go of your program. God said, I want to move. I can't move in your local assembly because pastors, you won't lay down your program. Oh, we got to do the 12 songs. Oh, we got to read these many scriptures. We got to do this and do that in order, we have to, manufacture things, with our programs and stuff. And we put God in the box and we limit him. And sometimes God may not want us to preach a message. Sometimes God may not want us to go, Now, God wants to be led by him is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying to you pastors, him, pastor. God's saying lay down your programs and allow him to move because he said, I want to move in signs and wonders in the local assembly, in the church, in the ministry. I want to heal and deliver. I want to show people that I'm God, but I can't do it because you have a program. You rip that program up and throw it away somewhere. Go and burn it. Have a program, bonfire or something like that. Go and light a fire and throw those programs in the garbage somewhere and allow the Spirit of God to move in your church. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in God's church. This is God's church. We're not the founders of God's church. I know a lot of times like to say, I'm the founder of such. We're not the founder of anything. It is God at all. The division, everything is God. It belongs to him. God has given it to us. And it's his anyway. Everything. It's not our vision. We didn't just come up with it. It's God. We're just a piece of the puzzle. Well, sorry we have to pick this back on. Tune in on the first Monday of the month. And before I close out, I have to call forth an altar. Call those that don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an opportunity for you to give your life to the Lord. You may be in a backslidden state. The Lord loves you. You can come back. There's no sin too great that God will not forgive and accept you back. You may be a fornicator. You may be an adulterer. It doesn't matter, what you have done. But all you have to do is repent and give your life to Jesus and confess Him as your Lord and Savior, and allow the Lord to cleanse you, to wash you, so that you can be saved and come into the kingdom of God. And all you have to do is just repeat after me. You know, just say this. It's very simple. Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Amen. If you just pray that prayer with me in agreement, you're now saved. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome back, my brother. Welcome back, my sister. Now I just want to encourage you to get into a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, to believe the whole world, the whole casting out devils, prophesying, healing, need everything. I want to encourage you to get into new members or whatever they offer at the church. Soak everything up. Get under a mentorship program there. Somebody that's seasoned and learn to soak up all that you can. Get connected and allow God to use the gift and talent He has blessed you with. Connect with the vision of the house and allow the Lord to use you. And just go from there, and that way you would flourish and grow and prosper and be not only be a blessing to the pastor, but you'll be blessed. Your household will be blessed. You'll be prosperous. And you'll be a part of what God is doing in this end time and in these last days, again, because God's preparing His church, the people, for these last days. That's the purpose of the call of God upon your life, is to prepare you for that which is to come, that which you're seeing now, is to get you ready. Because you're the only light that the people's going to see that is walking in darkness, and that the world is going to see that's in darkness. Amen. God's a purpose and a plan for your life, and that purpose and that plan must be fulfilled. If you want to get in contact with me, I'm sorry I'm not able to open up the lines on tonight, but if you want to get in contact with me, you need prayer. You want us to pray for you and minister unto you and give you what the Lord is saying unto you. You can call us at area code 773-888-3356. Again, this area code 773-888-3356. Call it. We can minister to you prophetically as God leads us. I'm gonna tell you this: we're not psychics. We're not gonna tell you what you want to hear, but we're gonna give you what God is saying to you, the word of the Lord. We would definitely do that. If God gives us anything for you, we would definitely minister that to you. But if you want us to agree with you concerning the fulfillment of your purpose and your destiny, and we would do so, the prayer concerning the matter or anything, just give us a call on our church line, area code 773-888-3356. If you don't get anyone, don't panic. Don't get into despair or anxious or anything. Just leave your name and your number, and all calls are going to be returned back in the order which they were received. So we are going to get back with you. Just be patient with us, and we're going to call you back, and we're going to pray for you and minister to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray that you were blessed. Tune in on the first Monday of the month at 8 p.m. to Restore Paths to Dwell In. Our ministry is Repair of the Breach International Ministry. We're located in Chicago, Illinois. Yes, you've been hearing this broadcast tune here in the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. And if you want more information about us, what we're doing, any upcoming events, or where we're going to be, if we're going to be in your city, you can get in contact with us at our ministry email. It's sentworld@gmail.com. That's sentworld@gmail.com. All you do is go back if you want to hear our broadcast or whatever, or past archive broadcast. You can go, and our information is on that, on the broadcast. You can just go to www.kingdombuildersinternational.com/blogtalkradio.com. And then just look up our Restore Paths as well, and that will pull you up and be able to see our past broadcast, you know, to go to the archives. You can listen to past broadcasts that we have done, myself and my wife, Apostle Angel Flowers, and even some of the guests that we have had on our broadcast. But again, I know I don't went way over time, but I thank God for your patience and those that have been encouragement to us. Continue to pray for us, pray for the ministry. Be encouraged. Again, we love you. We just thank God again for the listening audience, landline listeners, cell phone listeners, internet listeners, those streaming. And we truly thank God for you. And if we have been a blessing to you, call in with your praise report. When we're able to open up the lines, please don't be afraid to share your praise report or your testimony on what the Lord has done for you through Restore Paths to Dwell In broadcast. Share your testimony because that's an encouragement to us. Amen. So that keeps us on our faith, that keeps us fasting, and that keeps us before the Lord concerning you. When you share your testimony, your praise report over what the Lord has done and what the Lord has brought to pass in your life. So again, tune in the third Monday of this month, of next month, and listen to Restore Paths. No, actually, I'm sorry, the first Monday of next month at 8 p.m., Restore Paths to Dwell In. I've been your host, Apostle Carl Flowers, and leaving you with this, I want to speak a Aaronic blessing upon you, which is a Jewish blessing upon you. Now, the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord lift up the countenance and shine his face upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord leave you his peace, his shalom. Though your enemies may rise up against you one way, they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord cause your enemies to be your footstool, to be at peace with you, and even to bless you. The Lord increase you in favor. The Lord increase you in your finances. The Lord bless you in health and prosper you in all your ways. And that the favor of the Lord surround you and your family and your household and everything that the Lord give you charge over like a shield. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Good night.